It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the, well, used to be the Jason Wilde, Tim Van Born Homer Hour, but TVV is on assignment. Today is the first official day as the host of, on an evening Brewers game, will the dome be open or closed? So all you have to do is go to YouTube, check the Homer Hour, and the dome's closed. Got the dome on. Dome's open. Dome's gone. So, did my research. Temperature 60. Well, you can take it from there. I will provide no information other than what you can observe on YouTube. Going to the Homer Hour to find out. Anytime there's an evening game at home, you will know whether the dome is open or closed based on whether or not I have my hairpiece on. If the hairpiece is on, then the dome is closed because I got the dome on. And if the dome is open, then my head will be open too. Do we have the Hall of Famer? Joining us now is the one and only Dave Robinson, Hall of Famer, and the perfect person to talk to whenever you discuss the draft because he was part of, I think, kind of a historic draft. Hall of Famer, how you doing?
Doing fine, Homer. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. However, you certainly, by the way you live, indicate that things aren't exactly the same for you as it is for the pros and the amount of money they make. Because Dave Robinson, the Hall of Famer, you're doing what? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Right now I'm talking to one of the greatest video men in America.
No.
But I'm just relaxing, sitting back, and enjoying myself.
You told me you were doing your laundry.
Oh, I'm done with it. I was folding it up when you called.
Dave Robinson is folding his laundry. Man.
That's what I was doing. And that's why I said give me 15 minutes. So I folded it up, and now I got to take up and hang it up and put it in the cupboard and
all
everything,
right.
Ready to go.
The one and only.
I was doing laundry.
Do you follow the draft at all? What?
Yes and no. I look at the highlights. I don't sit there at the TV all day long and watch who's coming up, and I get the post draft reports and that, and so I know what's going on.
Now
I know one thing is a crazy draft. It's a crazy draft.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the issues is that you have players staying in college because they're getting so much money, and so you don't have many players.
Right.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, somebody said the quarterback was getting more money than the coach.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. He's getting like $5 million. He's getting like $5 million a year to play football, and the coach is getting $3 million. You know, I'll tell you the hardest thing about this whole thing. I kind of wonder in my mind. What would I do if, when I was in college, they'd offer me only $2 million or $1 million? Would I have come back or take my money and ran or what? I think I love the game too much not to play, but I'd feel like I steal it.
Well, but if they're giving it to you and you don't want it, I would have taken it. Yes.
I didn't know you that, Homer.
I know, but still.
I know.
The quarterback from Alabama who was picked by the Rams. There was the opinion, the report, and you don't know all this stuff, true, that he could have come back to college for $7.5 million. Well, if they're going to offer him $7.5 million in college, he should go back to college.
I would.
Yes. In fact, if I was a pro team, I'd say, we were going to draft you, but we don't want you now because you're not very smart. Why do you say that? If you were offered $7.5 million, take the money. And you can come into the draft next year. I assume it'd be his last year, but you never know if that number's
retire.
Accurate.
What? You can retire with $7.5 million. What the heck? You
know, yes.
If I had $7.5 million in my senior year, I wouldn't have to play football for to support myself.
Yeah.
But I would play it just the heck, because I like to see the look on the other guy's face when I hit him with a forearm shiver.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the draft, the year that you were drafted. Yes. 1963.
Right.
And I bring that up because I think, wasn't that a time when the view was, well, you can take a black player, African-American player, which your drives, but you don't want to take him in the first round. You maybe want to take him in the second or third round. Was that, do I have that correct?
You have it correct. Exactly right. The standard was the third round, but some guys would sneak up to the second. But that's why Lombardi told me later that he didn't draft me. He wasn't worried about me because he knew nobody was going to take me. And so I was the last man in the first round. Because the Packers were defending champions, so they picked 14th. So I was the 14th guy taken in the country.
And if you had been white, you never would have been available. Accurate?
That's exactly right. That's what Vince told me. But he knew. He said he felt very certain that I'd still be there, and he drafted.
I don't have the draft book in front of me. I should have looked. Yeah. There was a time when that changed, and I know when it wasn't. It was a couple years after that. But it's go ahead. Excuse me.
In the late '60s, it changed in the late '60s. I don't know the exact year or not. I do remember. I remember because you can check the schedule. When we played Kansas City in the preseason after the Super Bowl II and all that, everything else, and the guys from Kansas City and I were good friends, and then Herb and I went down on the field, was talking to Bobby Bell and those guys, and they said they looked and said, "Hey, listen, how did you guys get six black guys on the defensive team?" And Herb Addy said, "We beat out six white guys. That's all."
Nice.
And that's how it was at Green Bay.
But the AFL took black players. Right, some of those guys. Oh, Kansas City is a good example.
Really started, but what happened was the NFL, trying to kill the AFL, tried to draft up all the good players in America. And, of course, they started drafting all the white players. In order to field the team, the AFL had to start drafting black ball players in order just to put somebody on the field. And the guys came in and they played good ball. A lot of them, some of the schools in the South, that black schools, had inferior training equipment, and maybe the coaching may not have been the same, and they had to coach them up, they say. But most of them came in ready to play.
All right, Buck Buchanan, he was on Kansas City, right?
Yes, he was in Kansas City, yeah. He's from Grambling.
Was he pretty good?
Oh, yes, yeah.
All right, who was
when he first started, he made some innocent mistakes, but by middle of his first third year, after he'd been playing for a while, he was tough. You didn't want to mess with him, you know. The one thing, these guys caught on fast, but a lot of them hadn't, you know, I don't know how the place put it, but a lot of them, as I talked to them, they didn't have the best training facilities, you know, as far as equipment and things. So they had to catch up. They had a disadvantage when it came to camp. But the good ones, like the Buff Buchanan and the Bobby Bells, I mean, they caught on that.
Bobby
bang, bang,
Bell,
boom.
Yes. Now, here's the other one. Who was a better linebacker, you or Willie Lanier?
Willie and I didn't play exactly the same way. You know, Bobby Bell would be more of a
comparison. All right. Bobby Bell, did he go to Minnesota or somewhere? Where did he go to school?
He's from Minnesota. He came from Minnesota. But here's the thing. We were in the college All-Star game together. Wow. And both Bobby Bell and I came in the All-Star game. And they wanted us to play, both of us, to play tackle. During that session, well, you know, your home team calls the people at the Hall of Fame at the game, and they tell them where to play at the college All-Star game. And they moved me to three different positions. I started out, I played in, then I played tackle, and then finally I went to linebacker. And Bobby followed the same route. Bobby Bell was the first black linebacker in the AFL, and I was the first black linebacker in the NFL. We both came in together. We were both teammates on that college All-Star team, and we became we bonded. We still talk all the time. Right today, at age 60, I'm 84, so Bobby's probably the same. But it's a bond that's lasted a long time. And we understood. Now we understood too, because people would tell us right to your face, "You won't make it as a linebacker." Why? some of you guys aren't, these people like guys aren't sharp enough. I haven't had enough training or something. They had some BS reasons. And Bobby and I used to talk, and we used to laugh about it.
Right, because you look at people and go, you can't be that stupid. Like, you've talked to me, you know me, and you still think that. All right, I need one more question for it, because we'll do this again.
Okay, you got it.
All right, here's the question. I think the Packers are good, but I'm afraid they're not great. I mean, there are a lot of good teams. There has to be great, because that's how you win a championship, and I'm not sure. You had a great coach. Not a good coach, you had a great coach, and he had some great theories offensively, and then clearly his decision to draft outstanding black players. But I think the Packers are good. I'm just not sure there's enough great. Am I accurate or agree or disagree? Tell me what you think of my theory.
I agree with you. You said they're good, and it could be great, and it all depends on how. See, I don't know anything about the coaching staff, their approach to it, how they look at things. But the coaching staff, and it's going to have a lot to do with it. Make sure they got the right people in the right spot, and then teach them how to play that thing to the up to the best of their ability, and then they can have a great, great team. That's what it takes. You know, and you know, you can't tell a guy just to play and be the best linebacker, let's say, in the league. I had to play not just to try and be the best linebacker in the league, but I had to be the best side partner of Willie Davis to the inside and Herb Brown to the out. When I came in, Willie Davis told me that he did not like for the tight ends to block down on him. I had to make sure to block the tight ends never block down on Willie. Willie had the little small leg, you know. I think you don't want to say Willie Davis' offseason job was stamping holes in donuts and his little teeny legs.
Come on, but think of that. You had Willie Davis, Dave Robinson, and Herb Adderley. That's the definition of great. Not one of you was good. All three of you were great, right?
Yeah, but Vince didn't. He put us over there. You know, all the quarterbacks call their own plays. Quarterbacks are right-handed. When a quarterback had to make it third and three and he came, he's going to think, what play should I run? If it's a six holes to the right and the four and the five holes to his left, he'll say, why would I run the sixth play?
They're going right, and they're facing Willie Davis, Dave Robinson, and Herb Adderley. And I'm telling you this. I know the team is smart when they're going the other way and avoiding the three of you as much as possible. Who was the best and the smartest offensive mind that when you played them, they avoided your side as much as possible? Who was that?
Well, I tell you, one that stands out in my memory is Dallas. You know, the biggest game in that the biggest play in that Dallas game was the option pass, right there near the end to put them up, and then we had behind had to catch up. We had practiced that play so many times in practice that as soon as the play was forming, Willie and I knew the play was going, but was going away from us, and unfortunately the other side bit and
we
made
will...
no difference because they tried. They tried later to come our way, and we stopped them and won the game. And
no, I would never. I would have gone. I'd have gone. We ain't. You guys might as well get some chairs because we ain't going to your side the whole game. All right, we'll do this again. Thanks for giving me a little time.
Hey, thank you, Homer.
Hall of Fame.
I got anytime you want to talk, call me. I got a lot of things to tell you.
I know you have the greatest Vince Lombardi stories. Tell the world as we leave. Vince Lombardi knew nothing about defense. Didn't even know who was making mistakes. Had to go ask Phil Bankston who to yell at. Right.
Yeah, so that's not exactly right, but it's sometimes Vince could spot a weakness in our defense.
Oh.
He knew somebody had screwed up because he had a great offensive mind.
True.
But he didn't know who man they had beat. They knew something. You mean, and so if a team ran a play for us and they got like 4 yards, which was hard, running 4 yards, he'd turn to Phil and say, Phil, whose man is that? And it's mine. And they say it was my man. They say, that's Robinson's man. And then Vince said, Robinson, what the hell are you going out here?
Now, I should be fair to this. That the biggest thing about Vince Lombardi, other than the great ability to draft players, is he was an offensive genius in terms of the system he had.
True.
All right. Though, tell him that in training camp, the defense whooped the offense every year. Is that correct?
Well, defense I like to say defense is a thing. Defenses really win games. Offenses get all the glory. But I tell you, if you don't have a good defense, I don't care how good your offense is, you're going to lose the
game. That's what the Packers have needed more, and that's what Seattle had last year. Hall of Famer Dave Robinson. Thanks.
Homer, take it easy. Hey,
you bet.
Say hello to everybody in Milwaukee for me. Sorry about saying hello.
Hall of Famer. There's only one. Dave Robinson. Joe Panos next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Panos on. He's so famous and busy now. At any point, he's going to say, I got to go. If you don't know who Joe Panos is, then you should be listening to another show. Big Shot, how you doing?
What's going on, buddy?
All right, let's go. I apologize. Before the draft, should always get Joe Panos on. He might be the national expert on the offensive lineman available in the draft. But he can't tell us what he really thinks because he keeps it all private. Do I have that right?
That is very correct.
All right. Now, I know you had some big – all right, who are your agents? Tell us about who you had and give us the specs.
Well, my firm, Athletes First, we had a banner year. We had 9 first-round draft picks. Of those 9, 2 of them were mine. I had the first tackle.
I bet they were offensive linemen.
No, gosh, no. My 2 were.
Yeah,
my
that's what
were.
I mean.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the number 2 pick. We had the number 3 pick. Yeah. The number 9 pick was, that's my guy. His name is Spencer Fanu. He was a tackle from Utah. He went number 9 to Cleveland.
Here's what I got on him. You want to know what I got?
Yeah.
Immediate starter. That's all it said. Immediate
Correct.
Starter.
Correct.
Okay, how is he the same or different than what you were?
He's much, 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 much better than I ever wish
I
could be.
In what way? Quicker, longer?
Yeah. He's this is a generational kind of a dude. He really is. He's got at 6'5", 315 pounds. He has elite feet. Very, very, very athletic. Extremely, extremely powerful. Big, heavy hands. He's by far the best pass protector in the
draft. So what's he doing at Utah?
He's from Utah. Orem, Utah. Yeah. He's from Utah.
All right, next guy.
He says too. Next guy is a guy named Vega. No, I'm sorry. Apologize. Hold on, I'm choking here. Vega is from Penn State.
Oh, the guy who I can't pronounce his name. Olia Vega, Nega, Lone. What's his last name? Is it Lone? Is that right?
Ione.
I'm sorry. That's an I, not an L. All right.
Yeah, so Vega's from
thick, went to school nasty Penn State. Mauler. That's what I have on him.
Yes, you heard it right. He had probably the cleanest product, one of the cleanest products coming out. As far as you know, what you're going to get with him, he's going to have a high ceiling. He has a high floor as well. You know, plug and play starter, going to play for a long time. He was as clean as it gets as far as like. There's no negative check marks against him at all. No questions, no nothing. So he was really, really, really clean and very easy for Baltimore to take him.
You got any guys that you think the Packers should get as free agents? Or are they all gone now?
They're all gone. All the good ones are gone.
All right.
I mean, disrespect for the people who are still out there, but you know, they're out there for a reason. You know, either they're blowing a tooth or they're waiting up for somebody to get hurt and the money's dried out, sometimes people wait instead of signing a crappy contract. Now I'll wait until someone gets hurt where they have more leverage, right? You know, happens all the time. So that's who's available right now.
What's the business like now versus what it was? Has it changed because of the money players are getting in college? Like,
yeah, these guys make more than we do.
I know they do, but do some not go in? Is that legit that they don't go into the draft because? You advise or somebody advises them that they'd make more, or what's the truth of that?
They're more apt probably to, just because you make a lot of money in college does not mean you're going to make a lot of money in the NFL.
All right.
Yeah, that's 100% accurate. Generally speaking, you know, people are like, if you stay, you can make more money. But the big thing about coming out early, it's not, hey, I need to come out early to get a signing bonus and stuff to be NFL football players. It's the earlier you get into the NFL, assuming that you're ready to go, the less risk you have for injury, okay, coming back,
right.
Number one. Number two, the faster and younger you are to get to the second contract.
Oh,
because at the end of the day, first contract's not taking care of you the rest of your life or your family. Those second contracts are, right? Those second contracts
are. All right, now I'm going to ask you. So if I had a kid, you know what I would do?
Tell me.
No, I just call you. Joe, what should we do? And I think you'd be fair to say, hey, at this amount and given your ability, I would go back in college for whatever.
Do people ask you? 100%. I have a kid at NIL. I have a kid at NIL right now. I can say names, but I told him I told him to stay in school. And make a lot of money in school, because right now your draft status is not where it could be better. Sorry. It can be significantly better if you stay another year, right? It's significantly better to stay another year. Instead of being a fourth round pick, you can be a second round pick, that sort of thing.
All right. Talking with Joe Panos.
And you're making, he's making $1 million in college, right?
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Well, no, I want to tell you this. The kid from Alabama who went to 13th, right? There was a report out that he had an offer to play college for $7.5 million, and he's in the draft. And I would, if I was interested in him, I'd call him and said, "We're not drafting you anymore because we don't want an idiot." If you're turning out $7.5 million to play another year in college, you don't get it. Now we don't know if that number's accurate, but if it's accurate, do you agree with my premise? He's an idiot not to play another year in college.
Yeah, we heard it was six. I heard the same thing you did. I heard it was six.
Because they're way overpaying, I think, for quarterbacks in college. I'm using that money on five offensive linemen, and I'm paying $2 million. I can find a quarterback, but that's not the approach. What do you think?
Yeah, I happen to agree with you. College, not the NFL. It's in college. College, you can get by with a solid, good quarterback that doesn't make mistakes. That's what you want, right? In college, you go pretty darn far with that. Pretty darn far.
All right, now is it true you're 55?
That's true.
Oh man, do you feel old? You don't feel old yet. Come on.
Every freaking minute of it.
All the injuries from playing football.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad I realize over time it's good that I didn't have that talent. All right. Now we get to you. Do you have other stuff you want to talk about, or do we get to the Badgers?
The Badgers, that's a topic that people want to talk about.
No, and I got an answer for you. If I was Luke Fickell last summer, I would have walked in and said, "I quit and I'm suing you because you lied about how much money I was going to get." And I never would have come here and had my brand ruined if I'd have known the amount of money we were going to have. They got money this year, and I think I'm already looking and saying guaranteed they'll win seven games. How correct or wrong am I without being specific?
All right. So I don't know. I keep my distance unless people call and ask me, right?
Okay. Wise thing.
The building. You know, because I'm in the business as well, right? You know, I represent guys in a team, that sort of thing. I don't know what they had. I don't know what was promised. I do know that they're being uber aggressive with the 2027 draft class. I'm sorry, draft class. Recruiting class. Super aggressive. And they've signed every kid that they wanted so far in the state of Wisconsin. And that hasn't happened in a while.
Right. And that, tells me you have the money. They're telling me, well, he didn't have a relationship with the coaches. I said, what is a relationship? Why spend time with a relationship if he's going to get $1.5 million and you only got $1 million? You're wasting your time. I'm not sure there is such a thing as a relationship. And, again, I understand what you can and can't say. You can't offend me because I admit I don't know anything.
Right. I don't know.
But that tells me something's changed, that all of a sudden these top kids.
100%. 100%. Something has changed. What it is, you can guess, right? You can guess. But all I know is they're having a really, really good class so far for 2027.
Will there be a noticeable improvement this year?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know the talent that they brought in from the portal. I don't know.
Because this, we're talking about transfer. What you're talking about are recruits.
Correct.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
Correct. I don't know who they brought in for the portal. You never know. It's always a crapshoot with them. I don't know who it is. Yeah, man. They got to do better, right? They have to do better. I'm assuming they spent money in the portal as well. I'm assuming.
Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah. When people ask me about this or basketball, I go, look, it's just like asking me how many people the mob killed. I don't know. No one tells us. So I'm just guessing. Yeah. However, I just don't think that they could be that bad. I mean, anybody who watched, they were horrible. Like,
not good.
Okay, you're being much nicer. Barry Alvarez. I don't care if he's 100. I want him to be the interim AD. I think the best kept secret about Barry Alvarez, and again, you can tell me I'm wrong, and I learned this from his roommates in college. People don't realize how smart he is. I didn't say a little smart. Very smart. Very smart.
Very, very.
Because his roommate said he never studied. He was eating chips the whole time. They studied. They didn't get grades. He'd always have great grades.
You know how I hold where I hold.
I know, but this is not about how good he is as a coach. This is not about his toughness. Very, very smart.
Yes, very, 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 very smart. Very smart.
And I know the game's changed. He could win under this system.
Yeah, he'd find a way.
Yes,
100%.
He'd figure it out.
He'd find a way.
Or he wouldn't coach and saying, it can't be done and I'm out.
He'd do a lot of saving. Yeah.
That's what I believe Saban did.
100%.
Yeah.
Same as I'm not dealing with this bull crap. I want guys to bring in the guys and develop. And I don't want, have a 50% turnover, that sort of thing. Saban's not going to put up with that. Yeah, 100%.
All right, here's my other thing. I mean, Wisconsin is a great school. It can have a great program. There's nothing different now than before. And to think that Wisconsin can't be as good as they once were anymore, I just think is wrong. I can see how people would feel that because that would mean they've just struggled. But that doesn't. Go ahead.
Listen, anyone says that I knew Coach. I've always said Coach Fickell was not the right guy. He's full of crap. It was universally agreed to that was a great hire. Universally, everyone. Including myself, said that is a fantastic guy. People tried taking him to USC. They tried taking him to the SEC and LSU. Everyone wanted him. I mean, everyone wanted him. Okay, and he came to Wisconsin, and everyone was happy, as they should have been. I still think Coach Fickell has not had the success that he wished he had, nor the success that we wish he had. But he was a monster coming in. All right, so now let's see what happens. It looks like the coffers have opened up. Let's see what happens now when we're, it's a level playing field. I think it is.
Right, because they're two, to me, even when you have the money, there's no guarantee you're going to win. Right. Because some schools have a ton of money, and, I mean, Kentucky in basketball is the best. They spent like $22 million, and they didn't win. Well, so you still got to pick the right guys. You got to call Joe Panos. We got these four offensive linemen. They're all at $1 million. Which one do I take?
I don't know if they're calling me up, but yeah.
Well, I mean, but you know what I'm saying. You still got to pick the right ones.
Yeah,
they're not all good.
You have to have the plan, okay? First and foremost, you have to have a plan and be a good evaluator of talent. And Coach Fick has won at every stop he was at.
Yes.
Big time.
And if he did, well, we don't know. It's got to get better. I believe it will get better. All right, the Philadelphia Eagles, where you played, are good because they have a phenomenal general manager. True or not true?
He's awesome. He's really good. He's really good.
Why is he better? He just makes a better judgment of the players, or what?
Is it? Well, Howie is famous, for locking guys up with years remaining under contract, right? So it's a big, and it's a not a lot of teams do that, right? So you take a look at the guys that Howie resigns, extends, right? See the guys that Howie extends. He extends them with a year, sometimes 2 years left under deal. And he's like, you know what? I want to overpay now instead of have to pay a king's ransom later. He rolls the dice a little bit and said, he's only played 3 years.
You got to pick the right ones. But
we think he's going to be a monster. And they sign him instead of signing him for, they sign him for whatever, just say $20 million a year. 2 years later, the market's 30, 32, 33. He gets them on the cheap because he does them early.
All right, two quick ones. How good is the running back from Notre Dame? Your company has
special
Hall of Fame. I got him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
He, I don't know. Okay, God willing, that'd be great. But he was quote unquote the cleanest athlete in the draft by far.
All right,
by far, universally thought of the number one guy and a difference maker. I mean, you know what? You can put an 80 number on his jersey and line him up, and he'd be an unbelievable wide receiver.
Wow.
He's not leaving the field.
All right, and lastly, I feel that Packer fans are going to live the next 15 years understanding that the biggest mistake the organization made was not getting John Schneider to come back, because He does this, has done the same, and will continue to do the same in Seattle.
John's my guy.
Have I gone too far?
I don't know about John's my dude. He's a great guy.
How is he your dude? What do you mean? I've known him
for 15 years.
How did you first get to know him, or what?
He was a scout when I was He was a scout when I was coming out. He's been forever, guys. He's been around forever. Forever.
So what's his strength?
You know he's a local guy, right?
I know. He went to DePere, Abbott, Pennings, everything about him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he went to play his football at St.
He was
John,
he wanted to be an intern, sent a letter to Ron Wolf, and the next thing you know, he's wherever, and it's just gotten he's just gone on and up. But you know what in the personnel, what he makes a good judge? What it's hard.
Great. He's a great evaluator talent, first and foremost. He's a football guy, big time. A football guy. Great evaluator talent.
But he's not a football player. He's just
he doesn't have to be. You think Howie is?
I don't know. I'm asking this.
Howie weighs as much as you do.
Okay. So you just see it better? Or, I mean, it's like anything else. Some have a better skill at it, right?
Yeah. He's got a great skill set. He's got a great plan. You know, he knows where to put his money. Yeah, man. He does it all. I'm a John fan. John Schneider fan.
No.
Big time.
It's too bad he's not with the Packers, but he's not. He's with anybody else? Any other name? In that position. We mentioned the GM of the Seattle, the GM, I'm assuming the Rams. I don't know who else. Who's in a tier?
I like Les Snead too.
Okay.
He obviously does well. By the way, they're all in this year. They're all in. They're all in. They put a lot. They have, I think one big reason why people are like, did they draft the quarterback too high? Right, because people said, "Is he going to be a second? Will he be a first rounder? Will he be?"
No, they like him that much.
Yeah. Not just that. There wasn't the word on the street was there's not a rookie that you can draft at 12 that's going to start for these guys. That's how loaded they are.
Yes. Wow.
They're right
up there with Phil. I don't know Philly, but Phil is Seattle, right? The Rams. They should have beaten them.
They went heavy free agency. They had some defensive spots they needed to get filled up, and they did. They paid a couple corners a lot of money. They paid a lot of money. They are all in.
All right, last question. Right now. Has the game changed at all? You played it. Now you're watching all these players. Is the college game different, the pro game different, or is it still blocking and tackling?
It's still blocking and tackling. It's just a little different with RPO. Back when I played, there's always a fullback. Now I think there's like 9 fullbacks in the NFL, 9 teams that use a fullback. That's gone. Majority of teams do not have, majority, I guess a third of them, almost a quarter of them do not have fullbacks. I'm sorry, 3 quarters do not have fullbacks. So that's changed a lot. It used to be run oriented first. Now it's pass first and then run second, majority of the time.
And could you play in the league today?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. 100%. You know, I came in at 294. I walked out at 305. So that's the number.
All right. Thanks for the time. You're welcome to come on the show anytime you want.
Appreciate you.
You know what that means?
Thank you, bud.
Bye.
Bye.
Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
My thanks to Hall of Famer Dave Robinson and Joe Panos, 55. Wow. He's 55, then I am officially old. The star of the Rose Bowl team, the first one under Barry Alvarez, and among all the stories, there was some issue with a player that Alvarez was not happy with something, and then he said, we'll take care of it. It'll be solved. And what that meant was, bring Joe in. Joe will take care of it, whatever it was. That's how important he was. Maybe every football team has a player like that. But when there was an issue, Barry Alvarez wanted it taken care of on that team. First guy called in, Joe Panos. Milwaukee weight loss. Was it 229? Now I'm at 205. I plan on being 205 the rest of my life because it works. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, 262-235-3980. They have a program you do for 60 days, and it's different for everyone. But basically, I eat less, and I'm okay eating less. That's how you lose weight. Protein, vegetables, and fruit. And the keys for me key for me has been I don't like salads, but then I found a salad dressing. It has to have no sugar. And then the protein, then I got to have barbecue sauce or something that has no sugar as well. And I'm home free. Again, MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. There's nothing weird, no crazy stuff. Nope. 262. Don't even have to exercise. I don't even exercise. And I've lost 25. And I look forward to doing this in a few months and in a year, and I'll be between 200 and 205. Get $200 off of the spring special. $200 off of the spring special. It works. And I'm willing to tell you that the key is, does it work for 6 months a year? Not a doubt. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, 262-235-3980. And yes, we are officially this evening where you go to find out if the dome is open or closed. You just have to go to the Homer Hour on YouTube. You'll figure it out. Next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
It is the Jason Wilde Yuengling Hotline. I forgot to put Joe Panos on the Panos Yuengling Hotline and Dave Robinson on the Dave Robinson Yuengling Hotline. They're all worthy of having their own specific hotline. Good evening, Jason.
I don't disagree, but Dave Robinson, if the pecking order was established, and Joe Panos and I went to school together. I covered him as a student when he was playing for the Badgers. He's a legend, but Dave Robinson's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He trumps all of us and by a pretty significant margin. So he should have the Yuengling legend
Hall of Fame
Dave Robinson line. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you can't.
All time. Yeah.
And I can't get it, but the greatest tape, if they ever had it, would be when he was in college at Penn State and John Mackey was in college at Syracuse. They went head-to-head 3 years, every play.
I remember talking to him about that. Yep. I got to sit at a table once at Pottawatomie with him and Jerry Kramer. It was just the three of us. And I'm sure there's stories they've told millions of times, but to be able to sit in the presence of those two guys, and we were like backstage because I was emceeing an event and they were both part of it. And I was just like, God, how lucky. Like, I've never been one to take what I do for granted, but that was one of those special times where you're like, holy cow, like these two dudes and me are sitting at a table. It doesn't get any better than this. Who's got it better than me?
And when Aaron Rodgers said to me, you don't listen very well, I said, if you had better stories like Dave Robinson, I would.
It's a pretty good line.
I know.
And it's not inaccurate either.
No, and Kramer is the same way. You could listen to them, and they're both willing to let you go inside a little bit as to what Lombardi, good and bad, and just the humanness of it, which a lot of people won't.
Yeah, I wish obviously it's a different era, but I'm always grateful and excited about players that are more open books and you know, like for instance, when we do these calls with the draft picks, I don't expect them to bare their souls by any means, but you can always tell which guys might be a little more open once they get here. So I'm eager to meet them this weekend and see what they have to say.
Have you learned anything or is any additional information of any conversations that you want to pass along now?
So the one thing that is on my to-do list for tomorrow, although maybe I could just have him on our show, is that the Packers' other sixth-round pick, the one that we're not talking about at all because they drafted a kicker with their second.
By the way, that selection reinforced my belief that the draft was horrible, and that's why Goody was willing to do it.
Yeah, he basically said that too, right? So there's no doubt about that, frankly. So he basically looked at his board in the seventh round and said, these are all guys that we can sign as undrafted free agents. So he went up and he got the kicker. I still am leery of a rookie kicker, and that's
not fair.
No,
he wants a battle. I think he wants a battle.
Yeah, still, I'm you know, having lived through,
yes,
and with him having lived through Anders Carlson's inconsistency and Braden Narveson just struggling when they picked him up off waivers to start the 24 season. The whole point of getting McManus and frankly taking him on after he'd, you know, obviously had that incident on the flight to London was the desperation that they felt to have a veteran kicker they could count on, because given the baggage he kind of came with, you're like, eh, I don't know about this. And what I found interesting was that, you know, obviously now they're setting themselves up to do this again. And maybe Trey Smack is totally different. And to be fair to him, we have to give him that grace and not say, well, another rookie kicker, he's going to stink like the other two. But those two guys, like, it was a roller coaster with those guys. And I don't think when Goody said before the 2022 season, I mentioned this in my story today, when he said before the 2022 season, when you have a championship caliber team, you need a championship kind of kicker. And that's why they were keeping Mason Crosby. And then, you know, obviously they didn't think with Jordan Love in his first year as the starter that they were a championship level team. And as it turned out, they had a lead in the fourth quarter against a team that did go to the Super Bowl, right? In the 49ers.
Yep.
And your rookie kicker missing a critical 41-yard field goal was huge in how that game turned out. So again, Trey Smack could be the second coming of Mason Crosby, and he could be the kicker for the next 16 years and great. But I do think there's some risk involved. Anyway, we did it again to Domani Jackson. So here's a kid who started out at USC. He's from California, spent 2 years there, transfers to Alabama in the NIL era, and things don't go well for him at Alabama. It's decent his junior year, but last year he got benched. And he mentioned in our conference call with him, or Zoom call, that the guy that really helped him through it all was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, who is their director of player programs or director of operations. And obviously, I know Ha-Ha pretty
well.
Can
I tell you
something?
I want to thank you that, because I wanted to tell people Jeff Sports has a framed signed jersey of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix for $69.95, the lowest price in the history for a framed signed jersey of a Packer player. And I said, I'll be shocked if someone doesn't come and he has one left. $69.95, the framing of it is $200. I don't know
well,
why.
Also, Domani Jackson should probably swing by and
he
pick
should,
that up.
He should, yes.
With his,
hey, if you talk to him, I'll pick it up for him if he wants it. I can take care of him. I'll help Domani
well,
with that.
Let me meet him. Let me
okay.
meet him first.
All right, well, if you meet him, I hope it's still there. I don't know.
So I'm going to talk to Ha-Ha hopefully tomorrow. But I thought that was really interesting that there was that
yes.
connection. And for Jackson to like, he got benched. He played against the Badgers in that game. So he didn't lose his job until after that. But again, I think all these players, especially in an era when guys transfer when they hit adversity, the fact that he had nowhere to go and had to push through it, I'm curious to see if that helps get him ready for the NFL and he's more adept at handling the ups and downs of being a rookie in pro football.
Nobody stays at one place. Was there any information as to why he left USC?
I think they probably got more money, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's the safe answer.
You know, I got a kick out of Goody saying that there are a variety of reasons why guys transfer, and one of them, he flat out said, is financial, and that's not necessarily a bad reason, right?
I would guess it's 90%.
Maybe a little less. I mean, okay. It's got to be a fair amount have to be guys that are unhappy with their roles and think they can get a better opportunity.
Right. And that
else.
Generally
yeah,
means more money somewhere else, unless you go to a smaller school. Your importance is determined by how much they offer you as far as the next year. The offer's not very good. All right. Is Burton going to be a center or a guard?
Don't probably back up all three places and play wherever somebody gets hurt.
And from Penn State,
one,
is
one,
that,
one, 1-1 tie, by the way, between Manitowoc and Ashwaubenon right now.
It's not what I want to know. Please, can you give us the information? Any goals scored with only one shoe?
No one shoe goals at this point.
Any one shoe leave to where the opportunity was there?
No, she's kept her shoes on, both of them, all game long so far.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Jason Woolley, all Packers all the time. On the team next. I think it's live. I mean, it's always live.
But you're on time tonight.
Yeah, Jason had a game to watch. Next, live.